Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the Mish and Zach podcast, a podcast where each week Mish, Zach, and maybe a friend talk shit. We still haven't quite found the tone for the non-Leguizamo half.
I don't know, but something about calling it the Mish and Zach podcast, I feel very Hamish and Andy.
Whoa.
In a good way or a bad way?
In a great way. Do you know how great it would be to be them? They're
so
rich.
Yeah, no, but this is what I mean. Like I feel a little bit like when you're Hamish and Andy, having the Hamish and Andy podcast is like, you know, you got the brand.
Yeah, that's true. We're still trying to find
the audacity. Yeah. Of, we're the Mish and Zach podcast. We talk shit. Mm. I'm the Hamish of Mish and Zach. My name is Zachary Wayne. You might know me from just being the goofy one. Mm. I'm joined, as always, by the Hamish of Mish and Zach. It's Mish Witchrup.
Who is hyper aware that we made a poor choice going into business, just the two of us without Mandy.
Wow. We've got Tom now who, you know, we're hoping can be our Andy or at least our Ryan Shelton. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Tom's here. Thank you so much, Tom. And we are joined by a dear friend of the podcast.
He is a fan favorite.
He is a comedian, a podcaster. You might know him from The Last Video Store.
Yeah.
Batuta's The Last Video Store.
Oh, okay.
Is that how it is?
I would say Batuta presents The Last Video Store, starring
cinephile, critic, Margaret and David in one. Mm. It's Alexi Toliopoulos.
Wow. The two Hamishes meet the one Margaret. How exciting.
When it came to Margaret and David, was there one that you resonated with more?
I love them both tremendously. I've been fortunate enough to rub shoulders with both of them at different times in my life. But I would say, I'm going on the record. I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
There's one who I resonated with more, yes.
But you're not going to say which one?
I will say which one.
You will or you won't?
Do you want to take bets, guesses?
I think, do you know what I think?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, this is why
let's
I say you're
it.
Both.
Let's reason it down.
All right? Yeah. This is why I say you're both, right? Because I think you have the
I'm a daughter of David and a son of Margaret.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Their external battle is your internal
it's
battle.
It's also just very quickly, for any international viewers who just bloody living under a rock who don't know, Margaret and David are famous film reviewers here in Australia.
They're our Siskel and Ebert.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, I love that. Love those two fellas.
And actually, to give it even more context, it
They're
was originally
Kermode and Mayo, if you're fucking Pommy listening to this.
They were, I think, a really good way to set, to explain their vibe was, this is the story I've heard, it may be apocryphal, is that the word?
Mm.
Where
it might be apocalyptic.
Where it was originally David, who was an established film reviewer and festival programmer and director, and it was going to be him and another critic. Mm. That critic, for one reason or another, was not able to do the show, so he was replaced quite last minute by a producer on the show, Margaret. So it had the tone.
Who was a keen cinephile,
but also has a more, just gives you a bit of the vibe. She was a little more like, and this is why I think you're both, right?
Yes.
This is why I think you're both. Because on the one hand,
I have a je ne sais quoi.
You are the kind of guy that if Letterboxd didn't exist, I think you would have a filing cabinet of every film you've watched. I think I could see you with like a little piece and
I
you would write it all down, which is something that David
thank God done. An app well, exists see, to stop my psychopathy from becoming apparent to everybody.
I would say when watching movies in their lounge room, David watches it with a pen and paper in hand. Mm. Margaret watches it with a glass of red wine.
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah. So David, oh, right.
I'm sorry, but I think that's a pretty good. I think I painted a fairly good.
This is not an assumption. David has, since I think the age of 11, written down on a little card every single film he's ever watched with a tiny little review and a start. He was doing in pen and paper letterbox since he was about 11 years old. That's David's approach. David's a real like hardcore cinephile. Like knows what he knows like very like.
He's
analytical.
One of the biggest brains I've ever that is around. You know, he's one of the biggest brains.
Now that's, I think you've got a bit of that to you.
Of course, yes.
But also,
thank you so
also
much.
And this is what I love about
and
Margaret.
Please be a positive trait for Margaret's side as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. You like what you like.
Okay.
And you're not ashamed of that.
That's interesting.
And I've always loved that about Margaret. Margaret is so happy to go, this is my impression of Margaret. Oh, I liked it, David. You know, if she sees a movie and it's fun and she enjoys it.
Mm-hmm.
She fucking gives it a good score.
Oh, yeah. David, stop it. It was fun.
It was fun. And you've got that. You'll go into bat for a movie that maybe doesn't tick the boxes of what defines, and you'll not only enjoy it, you'll go into bat for it because you know at your core that art and entertainment is a gut reaction, and then we intellectualize.
And I got a lot of guts.
What a beautiful, that's the Margaret in
wow,
me.
What a beautiful
so
undoing of your personality.
Yeah,
is that a fair assessment?
I think you nailed it exactly, and exactly the same way I love both of those two brains.
I'm going to guess that you tend to agree more with David.
I'm going to guess the opposite. I'm going to guess you tend to agree more with Margaret because Margaret loves a little bit of a wah.
Wow. And let's say the Zachs have it today.
Oh,
yes.
Damn.
It's a red Zach today, not a green Mish.
I would say I'm a Margaret. 100%.
Absolutely a Margaret.
I think we're all Margaret.
We're all Margaret.
No, but I think well, the reason I guess it is.
Tommy, you're Margaret?
Yeah, wow. I was a David 100% because Margaret didn't like the silly action films.
Yeah.
No, that is
she
not
did.
True.
That's not true.
You're wrong, Tom.
Let me tell you this.
I remember.
You're wrong. You're wrong.
Fuck you, Tom.
I'm no cinephile like you guys.
Fuck you.
Let me tell you my favorite episode that I have locked to memory of Margaret and David. The movie show on SBS.
Yep.
It would have been 2002 or so, I believe, 2002, maybe 2003. And these are the movies they reviewed. The 25th Hour, the Spike Lee movie starring Edward Norton. One of the first New York films to address 9/11, the tragedy. Great movie. One of my favorites. Spike Lee's one of my heroes. David, I believe he's at 4 or 4.5. Mm-hmm. Margaret's not a Spike Lee fan. She doesn't give it a high score. Maybe a 2, maybe a 3. And then what do they review next? She watched Bulletproof Monk, starring Sean William Scott and Chow Yun-Fat, and David didn't see it. She gives it a pretty decent score at like 3 to 3.5.
Yeah.
And in her review, she talks about how John Woo and Chow Yun-Fat are one of the supreme pairings of actor and director for their contributions to action cinema. And then the final review, she gives 4.5 stars to Too Fast, Too Furious.
Perfect. Yeah.
And
perfect.
I will never forget it. And then right at the end.
Ahead of her time with that review.
Oh,
what did David give
it? Probably one or some shit. He's not here.
I hated that.
I quote, I'm a rev head. She says she's a rev head in the review. She's a rev head. And then at the end of the review, it's iconic because they both talk about how the Sydney, New South Wales government has refused and censored a movie at the Sydney Film Festival, Ken Park.
Oh, yeah.
And
I remember when she screened
an email thing that came up that you could email in to voice your opinion to the show of what you think should be happening in that. And I go, wow, that's why they're the two coolest people ever.
She
that's
did a so screening cool. of Ken Park, yeah?
Yeah.
And then
in
it got
home.
Shut down by police.
My favourite ever, and I don't know why it stuck with me, just like that episode stuck with you, remember everything? Mm-hmm. I don't know why this little like image of David, a 90-second clip of him at the end of an episode or even maybe just some sort of weird little interview thing where he was asked what his favourite movie was.
Yep.
And he explained why Toy Story is the best movie ever made.
Wow.
And it was like he broke down why. And it was like a maths, like a science to why that movie was
Toy
perfect.
Toy Story, his two favorite films, I think, are Toy Story and Singing in the Rain, which gives you such an encapsulation of him. Whereas Margaret, I think, is the kind of person that would be like,
Too Fast, Too Furious, Tokyo Drift,
Rush Hour is very funny.
Do you want to know my thing about Too Fast, Too Furious? That opening 10 minutes, I think, kind of by accident, is in my opinion closer to what Speed Racer was going for than any sequence in Speed Racer.
That's so interesting.
It is such a hyperpop CGI fest.
Oh, right.
It is a great sequence.
I actually think that the first 5 minutes of the first Fast and the Furious is some of the best cinema ever made.
Wow.
Like where he's eating a sandwich at that bar and Vin Diesel rocks up and he's like, I like the tuna here. And it's like, bullshit, asshole. No one likes the tuna here. It's just like, whoa, what is happening? These people are psychopaths. What is going on?
I think in 50 years, we're gonna consider it. I think the first seven Fast and the Furiouses. I think those seven are really worth talking about.
I thought 9 was pretty spectacular, and I thought 10 was other garbage.
I've only watched the first two.
Whoa! Wow! Wow! A mighty journey awaits you.
Yeah, 3. Do you know the journey?
You've never met Han.
I've promised Michelle Brazier, because that's her favorite.
It's her favorite shit ever.
I promised her that the next time I get COVID and I'm stuck on a couch, I will watch the whole of Fast and Furious. And she keeps saying, you only have to start at 4. She's like,
Wrong. She's wrong.
No, you got to watch Tokyo Drift. Wrong.
You got to watch Tokyo Drift.
Yes, and we'll say it. She may be a passionate fan. She don't know squat if she's saying shit like that.
Can I talk you through the first seven?
If we've got time.
Yeah, can I give you COVID so you get the full...
Yeah, can I talk you through the first seven and then spit in your mouth? when we come back from this, hopefully, ad break, I'm going to tell Mish the journey of the first seven Fast and the Furiouses.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, welcome back.
Wow, great to be here. Yeah, great to be back.
Thanks so much. If you're just joining us, Alexi Taliopoulos at the table. Mish.
Let the record show there's no table. There we're just no sitting table. In a circle with no table around us.
I'm going to tell you just the journey of the seven very briefly, just to give you an idea of why it's so special. Mm-hmm. First movie, based on an article with a title from a 1950s Roger Corman film.
I didn't know that, yes.
It's basically a rip-off of...
Point Break.
Point Break.
Bigelow.
I love Point Break.
Great it is movie. Point Break with cars. 100%. That's the story of the first Fast and the Furious.
God, I want to watch Point Break again.
Too Fast, Too Furious. Vin Diesel says he will only return to a sequel if it engages more in the themes of family because he wants it to be like Godfather Part 2.
Yeah.
He says, I want to play Riddick and I don't want to do a sequel to Fast and the Furious unless you add depth in the way that Godfather Part 2 did. Mm. So he left.
Okay.
They do Too Fast, Too Furious. It features Paul Walker going to Miami.
Yeah.
Miami, with a and then John Singleton.
Director, the director of Boys in the Hood,
with a predominantly black cast. So you go from the predominantly Latino sort of setting of the first film to a predominantly African American setting in the second film.
Mm-hmm.
Then the third film, Paul Walker drops out, and they decide, you know what, maybe. This is an anthology series. Maybe Fast and the Furious, because we keep losing these stars. It's not an ongoing story. Mm-hmm. It's an anthology series. They get a new director in, Justin Lin, who is, I think, one of the most underrated contemporary action directors, right? An incredible action director. Mm-hmm. He comes in. It's set in Tokyo. He feels that it's odd that a film set in Tokyo doesn't have any Asian characters, so he brings in a character that he created for his first film.
Is this Han?
This is Han.
Who is the coolest character in contemporary cinema, is that fair to say?
I think he's a very cool guy. Very sexy, very hunky.
Oh, great. I'm excited.
Eats chips. Because you can't smoke in movies anymore. Mm-hmm. Eats chips like a character would have smoked 20 years ago. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And his name's Han Solo. That's what? On his license.
Wait, really?
Solo, like the Korean capital city. Seoul and then O.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, my God.
Right. But right at the very end of the movie, really just a cameo, Vin Diesel appears. I'm sorry to give away the ending.
No, that's
Mark Sinclair himself.
Now, that is just a cameo, right? But What that leads to is a fourth film where Vin Diesel returns, Paul Walker returns. This one's called Fast and Furious. They drop the thuzz.
Mm.
That one, I don't really remember the plot of that one. Justin Lin stays on as a director. Does Han join them for that one?
I can't remember. It gets hazy for me around this point.
Tom's seen these ones.
So it gets a little hazy, but this one is the return to the original cast. That's how it's credited. Mm-hmm. At five...
You got Letty's back. Letty's back.
Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah.
She's back.
At five, the studio goes, people don't want to just watch movies about vroom vroom cars. You need to bring something else in. So they make it more about fighting. They make it a more general action film. Mm-hmm. They bring in Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who at that point his career is kind of tipping because he's done a lot of comedies. It's not really happening for him.
He's doing stuff like The Game Plan, Tooth Fairy.
Yeah, The Tooth Fairy.
They bring him in as an antagonist. I think maybe Han joins in this one.
I think for sure, maybe.
Han's in this one.
Definitely
but
he's in this one.
To give away, can I give away three a bit more?
Of course.
Han dies in three. So how is Han in it? He doesn't come back to life. They just very subtly imply that number four, number five, and number six are set before three. They just, without going too into it, because most audiences are just chilling and watching it, they imply that those three are set before the third
film. And he keeps on going, oh, I might pop it to Tokyo. Might do it. I'm thinking of going to Tokyo soon, guys.
That's so this so dumb, good.
This dumb, simple kind of set of films, in its sequelizing, starts to develop this complex, non-linear kind of story.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where there's a sort of a dramatic irony to Han.
Itself. And he begins a relationship with Gal Gadot.
Is she in it?
Gal Gadot is in it.
Elsa Pataky, Australia's princess, is in it as well.
This movie also of the third Reanimator film. Now this film, this series.
So what number are we up to now? Five.
This is number five. Fast.
But we're
five.
Doing five, six. They're all six. About them in a bit of a muddle.
They get a bit mushy. Yeah, six. Yeah. Can't really remember what happens in six.
All I remember is six. There has an electric. Ending. The six has an electric ending where, oh, is it six or five? Where the post-credit sequence
the post-credits
Han reveal.
So we go, so Han, he goes, at the end of six, he goes, all right, I'm off to Tokyo. Han goes off to
Tokyo. And we all know he's going
to
die there.
Right?
Yes.
Goes
and
back
he
to
dies
Tokyo.
In a car accident during a race. Like
right? It's just
around.
A race. The whole thing is a race and it's just
dying
an accident.
Doing what he loves, I'm guessing.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So credits he's roll smiling. On six. A movie I don't remember any of. The
but
credits
I remember
roll.
The post-credits.
It's the London one. Six is the London one.
No, that's seven. They go to London.
Because that's what Han is in London, isn't he?
Oh, is he? No, I don't remember.
Yeah, because remember, it's Statham.
No, but Statham is the reveal.
No, seven. Statham's in seven because this is what happens.
Yeah, Statham's the reveal.
Oh, no, because Statham's brother is in six.
Yes, which is the London.
So.
Oh, Jay, for no, God's sake.
Anyway, we're losing track.
We're losing track.
One of them has a great reveal, post-credits reveal.
It is six. Six, Han goes off to Tokyo, credits start. What happens in the post-credits of six?
You start seeing stuff happening from a different angle in the streets of Tokyo. You're like, hang on, who is POV? Am I in right now? Whose point of view? And you see this car from the POV from within the car smash into Han's car, killing him. And
you
then
see.
Who should pop out of the car? It is Jason Statham, the transporter himself, coming out, and he was hired to kill Han.
Didn't we see Han die already?
Yeah.
But
so
we
saw
him
die.
We didn't know who
him when he was answer. Racing in the third movie, it seemed like it was just because he crossed a red light
oh
and crashed
God.
Into a car accidentally. Mm. What we see in the post-credit sequence of number six is that
Snatching
the
it was
brother...
Actually
of the bad guy that was killed in six.
It was an organized kill.
Has done it as revenge. Mm-hmm. He's played by Jason Statham. He gets out. He calls him. He's like, I'm coming for all of you.
Sure.
Justin Lin leaves the series. He is
at
replaced.
At that point?
Yeah, the director. He is replaced by Australian director.
No, F. Gary Gray.
No, he's 8 and 9. It's Aussie director. It's Saul.
James Wan.
James Wan comes James in Wan. For one film, seven. A lot of them struggle with Vin Diesel's notes and don't stay around for long. He comes in for seven, which is one of my favorite movies of all time because he starts making this movie, which is meant to be the start of a new trilogy.
Yeah.
Very studio, very heavy. Halfway through filming, Paul Walker dies.
Okay, I've seen bits of this one.
They stop making seven. They go, we might never finish this film. But then, like as they take some time off, and then the studio says to James Wan, they say, look, we have to give him the send-off he deserves. we're going to give you creative freedom to finish this film, give it an ending.
And we'll give you a Wiz Khalifa song.
We'll give you a Wiz Khalifa song. And you don't have the pressure of making this a franchise anymore. You can give this film a nice ending and then we'll figure out the franchise
okay.
later. He then goes and I think does a very beautiful, it's been ruined by pop culture now, but a very beautiful, yep. subtle ending sending off Paul Walker. It's the last in Hollywood movie road. With an ending. It just ends.
Yeah.
There's no loose ends. There's no next time. It ends. And it's really good. Seven.
Great.
The first seven is a great experience.
That was so full on.
It's a ride.
I've never let anyone do that to me before. The amount of times people have been like, let me explain to you, Braz in particular, let me explain to you. And I was just like, I don't care. I just felt, okay, this is my moment. I'm going to take it all in. And it's a lot. I'm overwhelmed.
But did you feel pressured to accept this moment?
No, I felt like I was ready.
You were ready. Yeah. You were like, I'm ready. Accept it.
I was ready.
The other great journey you can do, Mark Bonanno, friend of the podcast, friend of, in my comedy group, his journey was...
Friend of our careers.
He watched number one. Yeah. He watched number one and he watched number seven. He didn't watch 2 through 6. So for him, he saw a movie about a bunch of street racers stealing DVD players.
Yeah.
And the next time he tuned in, they were super spies fighting with The Rock. Like, and he was like, at what point do they become super spies? I'm like, somewhere between five and six.
It's kind of gradual.
It's a very subtle development. Yeah. It works.
Before we wrap this episode up, we do have to play a quick game of what's something fun we watched this week.
Yes, yes.
Do you want to go first this time?
Sure. Well, I think I gave it away in last week's episode because we're in Sydney, we're recording a couple, but I watched the 2018 version of Suspiria for the first time.
Whoa, Luca Guadagnino.
Luca Guadagnino.
Yeah.
But I watched it, as I said last time, without subtitles and after a few drinks, and it was a lot.
Wow. Oh, I love that.
But I loved it. I thought it was really fun. I'm sure you've seen it, Alexi.
I've seen it a few times. I love it. Luca Guadagnino. Head.
You would have been very excited for his Scarface.
Very excited for his Scarface. I don't know if it will ever be happening.
No, it's not.
I pray. He's like a Guillermo del Toro type, picking up projects only to be abandoned.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Not my kind of guy. Don't be doing those things, messing with my heart, my feelings.
I would say to anyone listening, watch the original Suspiria first,
yes.
if you haven't seen it. But this is the great kind of remake, the remake that happens so rarely now, where it's just like, here's a really cool story. Here's a really interesting setup. I'm going to make a completely different film using those themes, those ideas in this story and setting. And it's a great film, really interesting. And Tilda Swinton is a powerhouse in it.
Ooh, would you believe it? Tilda Swinton, powerhouse.
Powerhouse I Tilda wouldn't, Swinton.
Never have believed it.
Whoa.
I watched two things, I'll say very quickly.
Yes.
Hellraiser 2.
Oh.
The second
wow.
one.
Wow.
And the first episode of Round the Twist.
Have you ever?
Of course.
Yeah.
Which one?
It's one of my favorite
The first
shows.
Ever episode of season one.
Have you seen it before?
Yeah, of course. I've seen all of them, but it just kind of stumbled across me.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
And I was just like, oh my goodness, it's like a haunted lighthouse.
Mm. I watched
Man in the Toilet.
It's
Dunny.
My favorite show of all time, Round the Twist.
It is so, it's just iconic, isn't it? I hate using that word,
no,
but it really
it is.
It's like, it's so Australian. It's this little like, and I think it was made in like the early 80s.
Yeah, late 80s, I believe, late 80s.
And it's just like such a little snippet from our, like,
we do it really plays to that like kind of off-kilter warped perspective that we have, doesn't it? It's so fun.
And speaking of that, was about Hellraiser, obviously. Now about Round the Twist. Hellraiser 2 was phenomenal. Not as good as the first.
Which one's what happens in Hellraiser?
She's
2
in a
again?
Mental institution.
Oh yeah.
And is it all about pleasure and pain?
Yeah.
And how they entwine.
And they've just started indulging on the pinhead thing and they've started to make him a little bit more camp.
Oh wow. You know, I've only ever seen Hellraiser 1. I've never seen any other
Hellraiser
movies.
Oh, watch the
movies.
Second one. It's fun.
Okay,
it builds on the lore.
I will watch
the
it.
First
it
Hellraiser very... was, I haven't, I'd never watched it. I watched it for the first time last year on Zach's request.
Yes.
And it was the first movie in a long time where I was like, that is so good.
Yeah, okay,
the first
wow.
Hellraiser was so good. What about yourself?
Well, what have I been watching recently?
There's something fun you watched this week.
Law and Order SVU season 23.
Wow.
Watch that. And I have a really fun time watching Law and Order.
You must watch a lot of stuff because your letterbox is intimidating and
yes.
then whenever I talk to you I find out you're also watching television.
I don't watch much TV though. I only watch movies.
And Law and Order.
Law and Order is the only show that I've watched for my whole life.
Yeah,
where I've watched every episode. I think I'm a season behind, so I haven't watched every episode, but I love Law & Order. Yeah, I love the concept of Law & Order, and I think we should have police patrolling our streets at all times, taking laws and order into their hands. Just kidding, I'm not into, I'm an anarchist. But I think that Law & Order is awesome.
I did not expect that answer from you.
Yeah,
but I love that.
It's trash because it's the same thing happens every time.
It's the best.
Like, but it is great.
It has perfect plotting. Like, it's just the same shit.
That's
you'll never
how
be
I feel
surprised.
About Grey's Anatomy.
They're similar shows. They're like
but really that kind of vibe of like, I'm just going to put it on because I'm never going to be surprised by something that happens, but I'll always be, it'll always pleasure me in some way.
Exactly. And there is a little pain that goes on with that pleasure, not unlike
if anything, it's just like, I'm wasting my time right now.
Absolutely.
That's the pain, but also it just feels so good.
And you hear horrendous things being said in this show. Yeah. You hear really horrible things.
Yeah.
This is what I love about Star Trek though, right? There's something about like network television where you could watch four bad ones in a row.
Yeah.
And then when you hit a good one,
it is like butter melting in your mouth.
You're just like, oh.
Oh, it's good.
And it's always the worst comes just before or just after the best on these ones.
Absolutely.
Somehow, I think they actually take from their production to give to the good ones.
Oh, 100%.
So you watch a really good one, you're like, fuck, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
By the way, Mariska would be a great captain of the Enterprise.
Which one's Mariska?
Mariska Hargitay, Olivia Benson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think she'll be a great captain of the Enterprise.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good synergy.
Man, throw out those hard-hitting... hot takes, thank
that's
you.
That's my hot takes.
Hey, before we bring this episode to a close, we will announce what we're watching.
Finally,
episode.
It's a big final one.
This one has been requested from us so many fucking times.
Yes.
And it is time. It is time for us to review The Pest. 1997 comedy, The Pest. So many of you wanted it and you're going to fucking get it. You're getting it on Thursday. So feel free to have a watch of it and then you can watch along with us when we release.
We bought it, I think. I don't think it's available on a stream.
Yeah, well, you have to get it on YouTube.
You can rent it on Apple. I watched it this morning. I rented it for $4.99.
Yeah. I did similarly on YouTube.
And by the way, you'll be receiving an invoice.
That's absolutely fine. We can reimburse you for that one. So thank you so much for listening and we will catch you on Thursday with The Pest.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.